Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our picks, keeping track of our time, looking up any pertinent information we might need, he is the poet laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. You know him as Mr. Electricity. We call him Whiteboard Jody.
WB.
Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is the next candidate to be under the hood of the Commodore at Vanderbilt University. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Give me a wrecking ball. I'm headed down right now. Malachi Moore ain't seen nothing yet.
I thought we would set the evening off on the right tone there, gentlemen.
I think Vanderbilt Stadium's a lot like Alabama's football team. It's under construction.
Oh, God. Yeah, Lionel Richie is dead to me. I'll never listen to the Commodores again.
Want to remind everybody, we are on social media, on Twitter, at Blockout Pod, on Facebook. Type in Blockout Sports Pod into your Facebook search engine. You can find us there. quickly, just to put a bow on last week's show and tie up some things that we talked about, Freddie and I did go to Las Vegas this past weekend. We were there for...
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Well, I was going to ask you about that here in just a second. But we did get to watch the Louisville game. We watched the Indiana game. We watched the Alabama-Vanderbilt game with varying degrees of
success. I'm calling erroneous. Did you say you guys watched the Louisville game out there?
We did. We watched it.
That was
poolside.
A 9 a.m. game.
And we were at the pool.
Okay.
In our own cabana with a TV.
Touche, boys.
Yes.
I underestimated you.
Bloody
guys.
Marys.
Yeah, so I watched the first three quarters poolside
and $30 Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
And we got to watch it with Chippers, so
I was telling Mr. Electricity earlier tonight, we were not staying at the Fontainebleau or the Cosmo. I mean, we were at the Link, right? And a pina colada at the Link pool bar, like a 16-ounce plastic cup full of pre-made pina colada with tip, was $40.
Well, like, Vegas used to be cheap, didn't it? Did it not? Like, when did it turn?
It was. And
it was a
really
cheap trip.
Really, even 15 years ago,
yes,
when I was going, it was very easy to get comps, get free drinks, get all that stuff. The last 15 years, it's become even more corporatized and bottom line driven to the fact that they realized, like, we can make a shitload of money off of the wife who's sitting there watching the husband gamble. And, you know, if we charge her $30 for a cocktail, she's probably going to sit down at some point and go, well, this is stupid. I can get a free drink if I put $100 in a video poker
machine.
Plus,
they don't have enough help right now to get your drinks to you.
No, it's terrible.
The key is, and I've told everyone, the people that make the big money is Walgreens and CVS. Because if you're smart, you're going straight there. You're buying all your stuff. You're putting it in your room. You're filling up a nice Vegas mug full of it, and you're headed on down.
Second longest line in Vegas was at the CVS.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be cheap.
Right next to the coffee shop.
It's really not trying to be cheap. It's just if you want a drink in hand all the time, that's what you got to do.
Well, it's that 20-minute walk from your room to the casino.
But you can also carry around a little backpack, and like you've been shopping all day, and you've got four or five little drinks and high noons in there.
Or fill you up a $30 or a 30-ounce water bottle full of wine.
Hey, ice is, yeah, there you go. Ice is still free, so, but heck, I went into the pool. I must be looking like an old dad or something, because I walked in, they're like, is that your ice water? I'm like, yes, sir. So I got all my stuff in there, even though we appreciate Jimmy and Emily's 50th birthday. Jay.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Our fantasy winner.
Did y'all take her to get some barbecue at Binion's?
No, they went to Fremont Street, but no, they didn't.
I had forgotten
about it. It's a great place for a birthday dinner.
I had forgotten. I had completely.
They might even let you order off the menu.
Double pork chops.
I had completely forgotten
just
about that.
Just don't ask for coleslaw, right?
Yeah, no, it comes with it. You're getting it.
Yeah, it's you might as well get it because it comes with it.
I've sent out pictures of the pool party, and it was beyond epic. I mean, I've never seen 200 people in a pool before playing bucket ball and music jamming, and it was wild. That was my first experience at a Vegas pool party, and it was the link, but it was legit. Trust me, it was fun.
Yeah, it was a super cool trip. I know that you and I maybe weren't 100% on top of our games the whole time we were there.
Yeah, I went there with a cold, so I was.
But a great time was had by all. We definitely appreciate Jimmy and Emily's hospitality and all that, but I will say this, after having just been in Vegas like 2.5 weeks before, I hope I don't have to go back out there for a few months.
it's just
were talking about before, and anybody that's been there, I'm sure most people that are listening to this have been there, but it is not a normal like 3-day trip. You go there, you are on a different planet where people get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and start drinking and gambling.
Or
and
people get up at 3.
Yeah.
3 a.m.
And it's just a continual, you know, overload of all your senses and everything like that. It can be an exhausting time.
Right.
So my next trip, I'd just like to go somewhere where I can just lay in bed for 7 days, I think.
I think I lost every college game that I bet Saturday out there. It didn't bring me any luck, put it that way. Now, NFL, another story on Sunday. But Saturday, I took it on the chin.
Well, I certainly hope that you did like everybody else down here and bet on the Hoosiers at least.
No, I won on the Hoosiers, by God, and the over. And I want to tell Tuna this. I thought my day was going to start out great when I walked all the way over to CVS to get some Kleenex and some other things. I went into the Paris where we were, got some coffee, Tuna, and I'm in line. These guys are like, is that a Kenny Stabler jersey? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, dude, that's awesome. They're like, man, we just bet the house on Bama.
No.
We're going to crush it, dude. Oh, I'm like, you know what? Baby. I might have to. I don't bet on Bama much, but they're playing Vandy. I might put a little money on them. I went, where are y'all from? They're like, SMU. They said Louisville's going to kill us today.
Oh.
And I'm like,
they had the double whammy.
I now figured out that those two guys were the Black Cats of Vegas. They were the Black Cat, the Morning Cats. Anyways, on to football. Mm. But oh God.
So with all that being said, and we'll just kind of go in timestamp order. I think we'll start with, as Freddie was just talking about, talking to some Southern Methodist fans. We'll talk about that UofL-SMU game that I think, now, full disclosure, we were in Vegas and we were watching at the pool, and I couldn't watch it as closely maybe as I would typically. But from what I could gather, just watching it there, boy, Louisville looked...
You can say shit.
I was just going to say, to a certain extent, they looked unprepared. Like, there were a lot of weird mistakes made in that game, weren't there?
That's the theme of the season. It's this is not a talent issue. I think that we've actually been more talented than the teams that we've played and lost to this year, even including Notre Dame. I think there was a talent gap where we looked more talented than they did. It was coaching issues that lost both of these games.
I agree.
It's been terrible. If you can't get subs in off of off the sideline to get in there, you're gonna these fourth down calls to get first down have been terrible. It's a mess. I don't know.
Did you ever think you would say that Jeff Brohm got out coached and was unprepared, or they looked unprepared from a coaching standpoint?
He's not. It's almost like he has more of a reserved play calling this year than he ever has at Purdue, Western Kentucky, or Louisville.
There's no doubt that that's true.
And that's really driving me nuts. But I don't know. Pause it.
Hang on just a second.
We have a technical issue right here. We're gonna take a 2-minute break and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. We had just a little bit of a technical difficulty there, but as we were talking about the Louisville game and Brohm possibly being a little more conservative than usual, I heard something interesting on the radio today where they said Louisville, their percentage of plays called that are passes are less than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
How can that be possible with the quarterback and the wideout you have?
I'm going to explain it. First of all, we're taking deeper shots, which lessens the amount of pass attempts.
That's a great point.
Okay, and for two, our offensive line's pass protection has been terrible on the outside edges. So we're trying to, like, when you look at Louisville's offensive line, the only places that we have an advantage is up the middle. You got center spot and the two guards. Those three spots have played extremely well. So you're going to try to utilize those as much as possible. And we have the running backs to do it. When you get into pass protection, like, people freak out and they're like, why does Tyler Shuck drop so far back on his passes? He has no choice. Like, he has to do that. When Monroe Mills got hurt in that SMU game, like, not that he was having a great season, but he was at least competent at that spot.
Right.
The Princeton transfer, Mendoza, that kid needs to go back to Ivy League somewhere. I don't know. He has no place playing Division I college football. I mean, honestly,
he's just a bookworm.
But it's just really showing, you know, our lack of depth and, you know, talent at the offensive line. And that's, you got to win those spots. And that scares me when you get into playing teams like Miami, Clemson, and UK. Like, Kentucky's defensive front is probably one of the
best. Yeah.
When you put in Clemson and Kentucky's defensive fronts, I'm scared what they're going to do to our offensive line. But that kind of answers what you're saying there. But, and also, to go back to the conservative side, I'm not going to put all this on Jeff. I feel like he's dealing with it could get cleaned up a little bit more. But defensive substitutions and these guys on the defensive side, they don't know where to be or what to do. That's a coaching issue. I think it's too complex.
Sounds like a team I know of.
Did you hear the I guess it was the post game press conference, but the weekly press conference where they were asking
the one on Monday
about that earlier.
So heads are going to roll, I believe.
He basically said, like, he basically said that too complicated. We have too many checks. We don't have a base defense that we're in if the call doesn't come in. And these are all things that we're going to work towards.
Yeah, I think this week they're going to go to a base defense and then go from there. That way these guys have some plan of action. Because you see it even after the ball's hiked. Like, right before it's hiked, they're looking at each other like, what's going on? And then after it's hiked, you're screwed. And if the way that we've been playing these running quarterbacks, they see a gap like that, they're gone. And you're getting these chunk yardages left and right. And
yeah, he
and
actually mentioned
coverages.
That, too. He was like, we've been in blitz zero. Yeah. I forget what he said. He goes, we've been in blitz zero 4 times, and 3 times they've gone for 50 yards or something. I was like, well.
I mean, reality is he's a good coach. I mean, he's proven that over time. Like, this is probably.
Oh, there's,
well, you
yeah.
all put points on the board.
This is not, for anybody that's listening, this is not a slam Jeff Brohm yeah. program.
No way. Because
we would never do that
but
here.
But it just seems out of.
And.
It's just not. You're not
it's out of character.
Seeing it out of character.
And for as bad as like all the mistakes and penalties, dumb penalties that we've got, some, you know, it is what it is.
And they still probably should have won the
ball
game.
That we could have won both ball games.
Yeah.
So I'm
right.
not like down
yeah,
too
you're
bad.
Right on the edge. There.
But the reality is after losing that SMU game, and keep in mind when we did our preseason show when I went through, I had us losing to Notre Dame and SMU,
right.
taking those losses.
I know you did.
But also had us finishing 9-3. I'm looking there now. I'm thinking best case scenario on the season, we're looking at 7-5. Like, I mean, and that's reality. Like the special season that I kind of thought that we had a chance to have,
right.
that's gone in my opinion.
Right. And some of them ACC teams are starting to look better than we thought they
well,
were.
Well, I think there's a couple really bad teams like Wake Forest is really bad, but like Boston College is scrappy.
Virginia
scrappy. Another running quarterback we got to go against
yeah,
this weekend.
Exactly.
Calandrio, but yeah. Pittsburgh comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh looks like a really actually
yeah.
good football they're, team.
They do.
Not
they're
just a
good,
scrappy
I
team,
think.
A
yeah.
good team.
Yep. Yeah, they I think do. They're pretty good.
So, I mean, that's the thing. And you get really no credit for beating these teams when you beat them.
Right.
You know, that's
I
the problem.
It.
Right.
So it's and then, like I said earlier, you got Miami, Clemson, and UK on that schedule. I'm chalking those up as 3. That's 5 losses right there.
Well, wait a minute. We're going to Death Valley. That's a win.
Yeah.
By
I don't
God.
Know. Clemson looks like a really good football team.
They
Freddie
do.
Bender's nailed it at the beginning of the year that Dabo is getting it this year. Like, I mean, that's a good football team. They completely
they
readjusted.
They still struggle on offense, but their defense
dude, they've been
is
putting up
things.
Like 40 points in like 12 minutes. They
no,
go on these spurts
no,
where
I'm
they're just
you.
Unstoppable.
I'm
yeah.
with you, but the last game, it's crazy. They could have scored 20 more, but they had some dumb mistakes. So you're right. It could their games could look uglier than they do.
Cade Klubnik found himself in the Heisman odds
right,
now. He's getting up there. This is a guy that we all questioned.
Well, they've
you know?
Also got some wide receivers that have finally found their that they finally stepped up. They found their whatever you want to call it.
Their groove.
It. Their groove.
Stella got her groove back.
Yeah, so but if you want to go right into my game, I'm going to tell you.
I'm not going right into
oh,
your
okay.
game because there
it's
was
a carbon copy on defense of what you.
I agree. Watching Bama, it was almost like
it
watching
the
Louisville
same
game.
Thing.
They were confused. They had no idea what
right.
they were doing and where to be at.
There was a game in between that started in between the Louisville game and the Alabama game. And that was your Indiana Hoosiers.
Well, wait a minute. That team's undefeated.
You're 6-0 Indiana Hoosiers. Who's
not winning money on them every week besides us?
I mean,
please put.
If you haven't been, you can bankroll your entire. Because I'm telling you.
Troy Aikman is.
Yeah. I
Troy
saw
Aikman is. How about that little plug?
I saw that today. I loved it.
Oh,
I love that he
live.
Called him.
It
what
was
he,
awesome.
What did he call him? Curtis or Kyle or Carl?
Carl
Cignetti.
Yeah,
Carl
he called
Cignetti.
Him Carl.
Carl Cignetti.
But. Here's and I just thought about this when Jody and I were talking outside before, and I said I'm going to tell you, and I've you know, when we did our preseason, as Tuna was saying, we went through, and I think I picked Indiana to go 8-4, and I said I really have to talk myself out of going 9-3. Well, now I got to talk myself out of going 11-1. By God,
what?
Yeah,
because I'm going to tell you right now. This Indiana team is not, like, they're not winning on flukes.
No,
they're
no,
not,
no.
This struck me when I was watching the IU-Northwestern game this weekend. It reminded me so much of most of my life watching Indiana play, say, a Michigan or an Ohio State or, you know, a Michigan State or one of these teams that traditionally has been better, where even though Indiana would keep the game relatively close, I always went, well, they're going to get blown out at the end because this other team's so much better than them. The entire time I was watching this Northwestern game, and Northwestern keeping it close, I said, it doesn't matter. Indiana's going to win this game. I was sitting next to three kids, college kids, from Purdue who I think are probably listening to this show right now. So, by the way, if you are, had a great time watching the IU game with you guys. But this Indiana team is a bully.
Yeah.
They're a bully team. They just decide, they go, okay, you scored. We're going to score three straight touchdowns and win by 17 points, and it doesn't matter.
Mentality of their coach.
Yeah.
Like, they had completely adopted his personality.
And it is.
You cannot worry about them at halftime or the first quarter and go, oh, this game's going to be a tough one.
No.
Man, they just can put points on the board fast, and especially in the fourth quarter.
That's when they
just... They're a great fourth quarter team.
Yeah, they just...
James Madison was the exact same way when you watched them last year. Because I remember betting on them a lot last year, the past 2 years, really. And you'd watch that team, and you'd be like, okay, I'm screwed on this. There's no way they cover. In the fourth quarter, they win that box score 21-0, you know, 24-0.
And Curtis Rourke continues to be... a revelation. Elijah Surratt is...
See on that Heisman list yet?
He is.
Good deal. And
Elijah Surratt should be mentioned with in any discussion of Big Ten wide receivers. He's got to be close to the top, if not at the top.
Is he any relation to Sage Surratt?
I don't know.
He was a big Wake Forest wide receiver, and he got drafted, and I think he went to the Giants, maybe.
I don't know. That sounds like something for you to look up and text me about. But their defense is they play very aggressively. They give up some big plays. A lot of that last week, there was a couple weird things. We won't get into the minutia of it. But, I mean, this is just a really, really, really good football team. And it's a team that I've held off this whole time. I now say this is a legitimate team that could make some noise in a college football playoff.
Who you got next?
Nebraska.
Homecoming at home.
That's this weekend?
No, we're
oh, you're on a bye.
Indiana's on a bye. So they got 2 weeks to prepare, and they got Nebraska. They win that game, and then it's all white right in front of you. Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Purdue. Like, granted, Ohio State is
we'll find out about them.
Yeah, I think we found out a lot about them last weekend.
Very
true. I'm not giving Iowa that much.
That's still
anymore.
A good defense, and
yes.
they ran through
they
that
did.
Defense
they
like
did.
It was nothing.
They are a real.
Was that at Ohio State?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, okay.
But so,
I want to see
but,
them.
But
yeah,
but
road
so's,
I'm with you.
Road.
I want to see a road.
But
game.
So's the IU game right. there. But I'm telling you, I think that will probably be the only game from here to the end of the season that Indiana is not favored in.
Right.
And let's say that
keep winning and see if game.
If because Oregon and Ohio State play this weekend.
Yes.
If Oregon upsets Ohio State and then you guys somehow pull off some miracle. Like, I've seen Ohio State when they've had great teams blow games, you know,
well,
in
I've
Columbus.
I've seen Oregon beat them.
Yeah.
Well,
before when they
well,
were,
I've seen
they
bad teams, questionable
conference.
Teams, like Purdue
right.
beat them.
And
you know what I mean?
Here's the great thing about this year's Indiana team is, first of all, they are not going to go to Ohio State and go, oh, God, these guys are way
right.
better than us.
Exactly.
We don't have a chance.
Right.
They're going to go up there and say, we're going to come in here and win this ball game. Now, talent-wise, I mean, look, it's night and day if you go by, like, the rankings or whatever. But here's the thing. Here's my big thing. What Indiana did, and I know it's probably a unique scenario, but what Indiana did to flip their roster, and we talked about it some last week, was they didn't go after transfers that were, like, big out of high school that never played. You know, one came to a Oregon or a Michigan or an Ohio State and couldn't find the field. They found guys that were at programs that won that played a lot. And they have a vet, like they imported a veteran team.
Well, and that's what I was going to say about this transfer portal. A lot of people have their issues with it and so on, but what it's doing, and we've seen it with Vanderbilt and Alabama this weekend, was you've got guys that have shown that they can play at the group of four, group of five level, group of six, whatever the hell it
whatever
is
whatever they call it.
Yeah,
now.
and now they wanted a spot to play in Power Five, Power Four, and they come in, they go to these Vandys, IUs, Louisville's, Virginia's, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely,
and so on, and you're creating parity across the league.
Yeah,
and that's how you can see. And when you have a
parity's
team
there
like Vanderbilt, who has these scrappy guys, and IU, where they can go out and they can put a scare in you early, and they just keep hanging around and hanging around, then all those young talent guys, they start getting tight, and then the other teams are like, screw it, man. We've got 4 or 5 years experience. We've been there here before.
Right.
When
it's
I was
a different. It's a different league. It's a different time right now.
Yeah,
it really is. And don't forget, by the way, Ohio State, not only do they go to Oregon, they got Nebraska after that. And then at Penn State, which, you know, will be a night game. So they've got their little 3-game stretch right here coming up, because they ain't played nobody.
And add in the fact of a stressed out Ryan Day, whose job is basically on the line, as crazy right. as that is
oh,
to say.
It absolutely right. yeah. is. It absolutely is.
And Will Howard has not been consistent. Like, he
no, those
looks
wide
very
receivers
beatable.
Are legit.
They're making him
defense,
better than what he is.
Their defense
yeah.
is playing good ball.
That's a really good defense.
But I just can't grasp them, even with Iowa coming to town.
We just haven't seen them really play a tested game yet.
I don't
yet.
Think Oregon has a good defense, and I think they have a good offense.
Well,
they have skill players.
That's
the best defense they
But
well,
it's the best one they're going to go against, a total team.
That game's at Oregon, correct?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. And
Autzen Stadium's a nightmare to play at.
What I'm really looking forward to seeing is how Ohio State's defense handles Oregon's offense, because they have not played anybody close to having that sort of talent.
No, they haven't.
From a skill position standpoint,
Oregon just been cruising along. They haven't really been blowing people
well, no,
out.
They haven't played great really
Mm-mm.
all season either.
But that is one of them teams that you kind of are like, well, when they do finally get that game, they may play. They're just playing to their competition, maybe, you know.
Well, I can't wait for that game this
and
weekend.
And honestly,
but
Dylan Gabriel's been getting a little bit better and better
he
and
has.
More consistent
He's been
each
better.
Week.
Yeah, they've had a fair.
That's one thing. Start with some of these schools that started off with softer schedules earlier. They went through some growing pains on the
right.
field, and now
right.
it's kind of starting to click a little bit.
Yep. And I mean, say what you will, but at least at this point in time, with 12-team playoff, it might behoove some of these teams to have that kind of schedule.
Yeah.
Where you learn your lessons by but still win. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Now that brings us to the
It's tough to do with 9-game conference schedules,
well,
though.
That's true.
Because
too.
You don't have any say in that.
Right.
Now that brings us to the 1:15 local time Las Vegas kickoff of and now
4:15, weirdest time ever.
Before I open this to Fred to talk, because I know he has a lot to discuss here, I have to apologize
earmuffs
to Vanderbilt, because last week I made a joke about how Vandy was a trap game for Alabama, and we all had a big hee-haw laugh about it. Because it was funny when I said it, but I'm going to tell you right now. Now, I didn't necessarily enjoy it as much as I would have had it been last year, but I enjoyed the last 10 minutes of that game.
Because he was watching it with me.
As much as I have any game all season, just be, and the other thing, Fred, is that it wasn't.
Was Travis patronizing me at all, Tuna? What do you think?
Maybe a little bit.
It would not.
I'm looking over at him, and he's like looking at me, and I'm like.
It would not have. I mean, it would have been different had Vandy. You know, like now the way the game started, they went down, scored, had that crazy weird pick six.
Hold on a minute, I'm gonna get into that.
But here's what I'm gonna say. At that point, then you assume, okay, the game's gonna settle in. Alabama's gonna settle in. It was 13 to, like, even Vanderbilt missed the extra point. It was 13-0.
Right.
Then it was 13-7. Then you think, oh, well, here it goes. Here it goes. But Vanderbilt outplayed them basically from whistle to whistle.
I think that game could have been 8 quarters and they would have kept going.
What?
Just real quick, I just want to say that, like, I'm concerned about the rivers of Tennessee getting filled up with goalposts every time Alabama comes to town.
I know.
Like, we got to figure something out.
Good God. The amount of metal and mercury in there. Good God.
You already weren't drinking anything out of Tennessee River.
Well, now,
so.
Wait a minute. Yeah. No, I am not drinking anything out. I mean, hell, there's already rebar and all kinds of crap in there from the state.
God knows what Tennessee fans are
putting
in there.
But, Fred, with all that being said, I know you have a lot to say. The floor is yours.
Well, okay, you're right. So let's start right off from there. So they came down the field. You can, if any team that has a leader like Pavia is
Pavia,
not, whatever his name is.
I feel like you should know
learn,
it.
You better you learn his name now.
After that.
You better learn his name now.
I mean, hell, it's your problem. But anybody with a guy, a little firecracker like that, and you know, Johnny Manziel,
little firecracker.
He, like, you got your guy that you think plays like, from Nebraska, that plays like
Patrick Mahomes.
Now, well, Pavia,
he looks
plays,
like him.
As yeah. they said on the telecast, he plays just like Johnny Manziel. And he does things that are, I like to say the word crafty. Crafty is a word when you're getting ready to hand the ball off on 4th and 1, and instead you turn around the opposite way and throw a deep ball that I'm not even sure was called by the coaches, and they get a touchdown. I mean, this is what a quarterback like Johnny Manziel style or crafty like that can do to a team that is overconfident. So let's be real. This was a big game hangover for Alabama. I think Georgia had a big game hangover at the same time. They had trouble with Auburn for 3 quarters. The game last week was a big game hangover. However, before I get into this, I want to make sure that I say Vandy gets all the credit for that win. I mean 100%. So I'm going to go into nitpick a little bit, but Vandy whipped our ass, okay? And they whipped our ass in the 4th quarter, which is where it really matters. But if you look at the game real quick, there's two plays that won that game for them. Two plays. One of them was the deflection interception. Because that's a play that doesn't normally happen. That's kind of a fluke play. You take that away and we win the game based on the score. But that got them to 13-0. Yes, they missed the extra point. But that is a key play that you got to have, a key turnover to beat a big boy, okay, if you're Vanderbilt. That was a huge play. We all know what the next biggest play was, and that was Malachi Moore, who I'll get into later on. On 4th and 1 in the 3rd quarter, the play I'm talking about where he looked like they were going to go for it on 4th and 1, run the ball. He steps back, does a spin move, beats Malachi Moore, the All-American, in the back. All he had to do was keep that receiver in front of him. They beat him. Those two touchdowns won the game for Vandy. If you look at the quarters, 7-13, 7-10, 14-7, Vandy pretty much had two possessions every time. over Bama. We all know, if you look at the box score, I'm sure Tuna had to have looked at it. 26 first downs to 17. That's insane on a defense of Bama's that played against Georgia so tough. Travis knows this, 75 plays to 45. So we now know that they had the ball for 42 minutes. Bama had the ball for 17. Somehow Bama scored 35 points in 17 minutes. Excuse me. That in itself amazes me. But what amazes me more is that Vandy did not back down like most schools that are 2-2 that have lost to Georgia Southern would do. They showed major moxie in the fourth quarter when we were making our run to come back. And I'm like, I'm thinking with Travis, we're going to win this game. They continued to come back and basically whip us down. I mean, they got every first down they needed to get. So anyways, I know y'all don't want to hear about the big boys.
No.
We'll be there in the 12-game playoff, and I'll be talking about it. And that's when y'all be listening.
I'm sorry if I was disengaged there. We are in a critical moment of this Phillies-Mets game.
I hear you.
Like, it is absolutely insane
I
right now.
I remember that in my goddamn locker room. I'll put that on the bulletin board. I will put that on the bulletin board. But anyways, no sacks, no pressure. We could not attack a quarterbacks like that have done these things to Bama there for the last 20 years. Quarterbacks that are crafty, that run with the ball, that do even the little South Carolina quarterback that upset us with Saban, Johnny Manziel. It's happened to us once. It's happened to us 10 times. So
what's Bama's next game?
We're on, bye week this week at South Carolina or at home versus South Carolina at noon
this week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a 21.5 point spread.
Thanks for asking, Tuna.
No, I was legit curious.
I just wanted to jump.
That was
on.
Seriously like the worst time that you were talking
about.
But
that. What I'm getting
the
at,
bases are loaded. There's a one run game.
I know, but what I'm really getting at is that Alabama did have the same exact problem that U of L did.
No, I agree.
The coaches are trying to get the play in. They're not ready for it. I know the team captain, Malachi Moore, who act like a jackass in the game. But you know what? That doesn't bother me at all. I like
seeing emotion.
Hey,
I have it.
And he got beat. He got his ass beat. He was embarrassed out there. And he didn't like it. Well, if you don't like it, Malachi Moore, get your head out of your ass and do something. Instead of acting like a fool at the end of the game, throwing mouthpieces and throwing helmets off and kicking footballs.
I like seeing players piss like that.
I do too, but I don't like them getting beat on fourth and one.
When you start seeing it multiple weeks in a row, then you have an issue.
Right,
but like if he cleans it up, it comes out this week.
He had a great apology, and he knows that he was an idiot. But then again, at the same time, he got beat though. He got embarrassed, and I think that's what really got the best of him.
I would implore, and this is a plug for a different show or a different type of show or whatever. I happened to watch it today. If you have an opportunity, and I would. Ask that you guys look at it. I think Fred would find it fascinating.
I will after I watch Good Rivals. I got to fit that in sometime. You guys keep pushing.
There's a guy on YouTube that has a thing, and I may be way late to this. Everybody may already know who this guy is. It's called the Film Guy Network.
Never heard of it.
And he had a 45-minute film breakdown on the Alabama Vandy game today.
I did that today myself.
That I thought was, and I'm not a football X's and O's guy. Like, I don't know when I watch the games, you know, what coverage these teams are in. This guy does. And the way that he broke this film down over 45 minutes was unbelievable. And Fred, I think if you watch it, you
Fred's over here spotlighting deer right now. God bless.
I think you may have some questions going forward about the Alabama defense.
Well,
because
I watched it today. I stopped, rewind, fast forward. I saw what happened.
This guy's thing was, and he's a big SEC guy.
Let's not forget that we had like six freshmen make some of the greatest plays you've ever seen on defense. Against Georgia.
The Mets just hit a home run.
Grand slam.
Oh, baby.
Look at these people.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Francisco Lindor has been so money in these.
He is money.
That wild card series, he was as clutch as you could get.
Did you see the stat they put up right before that swing? He's 336 with seven grand slams in his career.
Wow.
See, they're going to do that for Tatis tonight, and I'm going to vomit.
Oh, baby.
Anyway,
what'd you say, Trevor?
If you can check out this guy, the film guy, he basically shows that how through the entire game, and again,
don't forget that there's a lot of freshmen that made huge plays versus Georgia. Bama is not besides Malachi Moore and a couple linebackers. Bama is not a experienced football team on defense by far. They played a out-of-your-ass great game versus Georgia. A lot of freshmen. I mean, how many times did you hear Herb Street say, another freshman for Bama on defense making a play? Well, you know what? They weren't there this time.
And that may lead into what this guy's premise was, is that he was like, all I heard was Kane Womack's defense is multiple, they're multiple, they're multiple, they can do all these different things. He said that in the Georgia game, they lined up in the same defense 94% of the time. And he's like, if I'm watching this film, and he's like, obviously Vandy's coaches were, he says, I'm scheming, just anticipating that this is the defense you're going to run every play. And he did a great job over 45 minutes of going, look, they're in this defense again.
Right.
And they beat it again.
Right. No, well, I'm not sure how Kirby Smart can. Now, Kirby Smart may have figured that out in the second half, because don't forget what happened in the second half. They scored 31 unanswered.
Exactly.
And that is what the film that Vandy may have looked at. So, yes, we could have a problem.
But I think, to your point, perhaps the reason that Womack has simplified everything or kept it, you know, is because they have so much young talent on the field that he doesn't want to overcomplicate things,
right,
what I was getting at.
But to put a bow on it, as you all would say, to the Vandy fans out there.
All three
you
of
bums you. You bums should be 5-0. You lost to Missouri 30-27. You should have had that win. I watched the end of it. You should have won.
That's a scrub.
You should have beat Virginia Tech. You lost 36-27.
No, they beat Virginia Tech.
No, you beat Virginia Tech.
They lost to Georgia State.
You lost to Georgia State 35-32. You should have won that, you bums. And you'd be 5-0 right now.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
So guess what? Keep winning. We'll be back.
Well, they play Kentucky this weekend, so you're going against
Kentucky?
Oh, they
do.
Vandy. I'm betting the over in that game like you wouldn't.
What's the over?
40.
Well, I don't know. Can Kentucky score?
I think they're going to
20-something points?
Bama scored 35 points on 17 plays against Vandy.
Yeah, but that's Bama.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I know that's Bama.
I mean, Kentucky's defense is going to have to score 14 of those points.
I just think
44.5.
I think Kentucky's going to come out and do
Man,
something.
I don't know about that.
I really do.
I think Kentucky's the new age Iowa.
I think that game is going to be a loose game. I really do.
Mark
I think
Stoops is an Iowa alumni.
But anyways, hey, we're still alive. We're alive.
Well, of course.
Well, that
everybody's still alive. That's a great thing about a 12-team playoff.
And I guess we'll get into this now because we'll talk about the games that did happen. There's only a few you can talk about, Travis, that were big upsets and big games this past week. And with Tennessee losing and Missouri losing, that Bama couldn't have lost at a better time, to be honest with you, because I sure as hell don't want Tennessee winning. And then we have them up next. I'd rather have them with a loss, too, if we are going to lose. So,
yeah. Yeah, of course.
Anyways.
Well, I thought I would mention, because I mentioned it either last, I can't even remember when it was, last week or the week before, when I said, don't ever bet against UNLV if you are in Las Vegas. Because I learned my lesson. So this past weekend, on Friday night, we literally get there. And UNLV is playing. And the first thing I did was go to the sports book. And I laid a big old bet on UNLV.
Yeah, I already had my bet.
And I said, these guys are not going to let me down. I'm coming back to show them the error of my ways. Didn't work out. They, I think it was a double dose of karma from them, saying you should have believed in us the first time you were here. And, I believe that'll be the last time I mention UNLV on this broadcast, unless they make the playoff. So somebody else say something, because I'm still upset about that.
Well, Tuna, what do you think about the Hogs beat Tennessee, Missouri?
Oh, yeah.
Missouri.
I mean, how about that?
Yeah.
Sam Pittman is taking his spot back as the cover king. You know what he said? I don't even want to cover this game. I just want to win this damn game.
With the help of Petrino.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
He's doing a hell of a job.
No, he really, and he's always been a good offensive play caller. It's just you just can't give that guy the power of being head coach. But
I just totally off the cuff. I saw two different things today where they were like, Bobby Petrino should come to Purdue.
Oh no. Well, the thing is, he can't be a head coach because nobody wants to work for him.
That's right.
So no matter how good you are, you have to have a great staff, and then he can't get a good staff to work for him. So his entire life now is going to be as an offensive play caller, and Arkansas was lucky enough to get him there for that. I don't think anybody will ever.
I want to give you some.
But I love them singing. Well, we got to hear two things. They sung Rocky Top at Arkansas after the win, and then we got to hear Dixieland Delight in Nashville, which I thought was awesome. But it was on a Tennessee Saturday night.
It was.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my God.
It was.
Freddie over here just catching strays left and right. I love it.
I got my locker filled up, buddy. My locker is filled up with ammo. It's coming. Hey. I want to give Tuna some credit, which I really don't want to right now, but I will.
I didn't time that too well.
But, dude, you have called Mike Elko, who is doing a hell of a job right now at Texas A&M, with a big Travis love to see drink a schnitz, taking on the schnitz. Hard. I mean, that was look, Bama almost came back and won, but Missouri took a butt whooping.
Yes,
a
they
SEC
did.
Butt whooping.
Yes,
I think
did.
We've been calling them frauds.
Yeah,
for
they were
pretty
hanging
much majority
on
of the
and
season.
Hanging on, and they finally got knocked off the branch.
Tulane should have beat them at home, man. That
I
was,
know, and I still think Tulane is the best.
I'm going to put a Boise State. I'm saying Boise State.
Tulane has two losses that were close to Oklahoma.
It was Kansas State.
Kansas State. Yeah. But I still think they are the best. They're putting 71 on teams now. I hear you. That I would love to see Tulane and Boise State play each other.
I mean, Boise State, like we talked about Ashton Genty. This kid, I mean, he's going to he's gonna run for 2,500 yards this year, which is absolutely absurd. You look at his stats, just in like I think in like 8 minutes into the game, he had like 160 yards.
Dude,
he's ripping what I think 10.6 yards
give
per
that
carry.
Offensive line some credit too. I mean,
I will. But keep in mind, he's averaging 5.8 yards per carry after contact. Which is.
You know who's second, I think, in that? The Vandy running back is second in the country after contact, I think. Or maybe first in the SEC. But, I think we definitely have to talk about the Miami comeback.
This is becoming...
Well, at Cal, game day was there.
And I just want to say this. A lot of people are like, I can't get on board with Miami. They got all these close games. They should have lost. They should have done this. Keep in mind how banged up they are right now. People are just glossing over the fact they are missing probably an entire team's worth of teams that could be a top 25 team. You know, Cam Ward gets put in these situations by his defense and by his coach where he has to just go out and just perform like crazy and make magic happen. And he's answered the call every damn time.
Yeah, he does it every time.
It's insane. It's like Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs or something. It's like, oh, well, Cam's going to make this play, and you know it's going to happen. Who's it going to be? Like, they've got several options. That tight end is just, I mean, what the hell?
10-year tight end?
Yeah, he's been in college for 36 years.
I looked at that game in Vegas when I was running. I'm like, well,
it was a late night game, so it was perfect for you guys.
I think I took the under on that. I'm like, I got that one wrapped up, buddy. And man, I mean, to hear the next day that they came back and won that game. Yep. Blew me away.
Well, I put money on Cal to cover that the minute that kid hit the field goal in the pregame.
I had the Cal cover, not the under.
When the kid hit the field goal during game day, I was like, all right, there's good mojo up here. And watching game day on that campus was incredible,
yes,
dude.
Yes.
Like the signs that they had, one of them had like Ott for Highs person, which was, I thought, incredible. Like it was dark there, like, you know, it was 6 a.m. And they're out there like storming the place.
Yeah.
One guy had a sign that said, I thought this was a protest. Like everything. Dude, it was so good, man.
But Cal has
that is my favorite thing.
They've got a good defense.
No, they really do have a legit defense. And for Miami to get there and put 39 on them, like they worked their ass off for that 39.
Right. And traveling all the way across the country.
And playing a 10 o'clock game at night.
That's a big win for Miami. It really is.
Imagine being out there and going and starting a game at 10 o'clock Eastern time, 10:30 Eastern time. You know,
it was – Woke versus Coke. Those guys had some extra oomph.
Yeah, that's true.
Can I jump in here, Travis? When we're finishing up on these games, so we can get moving on what's coming up. I do want to say that I've got arrows pointing up to some teams that we did not expect to be playing well. I'm going to mention a few of them and just go down the list. Washington. Minnesota.
Still not sold on Washington.
SMU. IU, of course. Army, Navy, Pitt, Virginia, Tulane, Arizona State. Texas Tech is now 4-1, and I bet against them 3 times. Never again will I bet against them. Colorado. Guys, we got a big game coming up on Colorado. And I find it interesting.
Kansas State.
That a team that has snuck in there that is 3-2 now, Florida Gators. And I'm going to tell you something. They beat Tuna's Central Florida team 24-13.
Two of those teams you listed in my weekly picks, which we'll find out here in about a half hour.
There you go. And I'm going to say that Florida is 3-2, and they did beat a good Central Florida team. And they are going against Tennessee this week. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, watch out for a double upset alert.
Best thing they did was bench Graham Mertz.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You've been saying that at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, he was bad in the Big Ten. I don't know why people thought he was going to be good in the SEC. Like, it made no sense to me.
No, and I still think Penn State is, like, what, fourth? I think they're the biggest fraud in the top ten. But we'll see what happens.
I think James Franklin was kind of pissed off this week by saying...
What did he say?
The airport from State College, Pennsylvania is not big enough to fly from there to California, Los Angeles. Oh. So he said, we have to get on a bus for an hour to get to Harrisburg. like that's going to – Louisville took a bus to Notre Dame.
Right.
Like, come on, man.
Right.
Like, get over it, dude.
Louisville took a bus to Notre Dame?
Yeah. The weather was so bad, we had to take a bus.
Oh,
they canceled flights in the rain.
Scenario,
yeah.
I was going to say.
But what I'm saying is, like, we took a bus 4.5 hours. We didn't complain, like, about taking a bus. Like, he's got to take a bus an hour to get on a plane to go to Los Angeles. Like,
maybe you just don't understand the majesty of Penn State.
Yeah, maybe you just don't take in people from the West Coast into the Big Ten.
But Travis, I do think that there. I'm looking right now at my. Sometimes I'll write down the games coming ahead.
Yeah,
and we got a full slate of football.
Well,
Saturday,
this is what I can't wait for. Let's talk about what's coming up.
Well, I think. It will pass Thursday, which Coastal Carolina at James Madison, both 4-1, will be an interesting game. I think Utah at Arizona State, both 4-1, on Friday at 10:30, will be a hell of a game. You know, I'm a Arizona State.
That's in the desert at night, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Utah, I'm done with them, and I hope they get their ass kicked every time they play.
I've been on the Sun Devils all year. So I'm kind of, you know, I kind of got that Sun Devil going. I still think that the Cal at Pitt game is going to be, even though Cal is traveling to Pitt, for Pitt to go 6-0. I like Pitt this week, and I'm not even getting to the big games. I think U of L Virginia is a big game.
Well, it is for both those teams.
Virginia's 4-1.
Yeah, it's huge for both those teams.
That's a big game on the Acorn Network.
I think like the biggest
Acorn Network.
The biggest storyline I think for me going into the weekend. This is a storyline, is Texas at Oklahoma or the Red River Shootout, Texas right. Oklahoma.
3:30 ABC.
Yep, get your deep fried Snickers from the Texas State Fair. Settle down and watch the game. This game's usually always tight. Now let's keep in mind Quinn Ewers is back. If he comes out and he struggles in a game like this,
you've been talking about.
Do question marks start flying? This is a big Quinn Ewers game.
Of course they do.
Like this is a really good Oklahoma defense. I'm just curious to see.
Don't you think that he has them set up when he talks to them? Come on in my office, guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, look, you're both top round draft picks. You're both playing great. You've been hurt. You're not. Look, if you're not doing well, I'm going to put him in.
I think
that they're both like, okay.
You're misunderstanding what I'm saying there.
They're trying to win a
championship. I'm not talking about his relationship with either of those guys.
You're talking about
the fans. I'm talking about the fans. And we know that Texas fans are like the New York media when it comes to the Jets and the Giants, right. The Yankees, so on. So you got to appease the fan base down there. Sark is going to have to shut them up.
Right.
Because it's going to get loud down there if Quinn Ewers struggles at all. Now, me personally, I don't think he will. I think he comes in, doesn't skip a beat, lights it up, has a great game. I think Texas is going to smack them around, honestly.
I also think with it being Manning, that it's a different monster. It's a more laid back.
Yeah, see, it's not with them that I'm worried about. It's the fans, man. You got to understand.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're the head coach, you tell the fans to piss off.
Yeah, you can't really do that down there.
Well, Saban has done it to Bama.
Well, Saban had a whole lot of championships to fall back on.
I think Texas fans are.
Saban wasn't telling Bama fans to shut the hell up until he was winning championships.
I hear you. Okay.
Well, Tuna, let me ask you this.
I think you're giving Texas fans too much credit. credit.
No, maybe. They're assholes.
When's the last time they won something?
You said, that's the thing. They're lunatics.
You said you think he's going to come out and be hot.
Yeah.
So you're a Louisville fan.
Uh-huh.
So he comes out and he's 3 for 15 in the first half.
Yeah.
What are you thinking at that point? And you're not a Texas fan.
I'm a Louisville fan, so I'm watching the Louisville game and not the Red River game.
But what would you think? He's 3 for 15. First half.
I'm like, get him the hell out of there.
Okay. So I don't think it's just Texas fans.
No, no, no. Here's the thing.
I think it's football fans in general.
True, true. And,
yeah.
And the media.
But let's say he goes out and throws for 250 and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. They start saying, Arch looked way better than this. Okay. You went to the extreme by saying 3 for 15. I'm saying he has a mediocre, not bad, not great day. That's when things get sketchy.
All he has to do is put Arch in, throw an interception, and then it all gets put to rest.
There you go. But if he went over there and said, Arch, go throw a pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Arch did that for him, and he's like, hey, anything
for
the team,
boys. Get these
guys
off my back. Yeah. Go throw one to the middle linebacker.
Now, I'm telling you guys, Tennessee needs to be careful here.
Now,
I know this game's at Tennessee. But Florida has nothing to lose right now. They've got some momentum. I'm telling you, they do. They have some momentum.
This is a good old-fashioned coaching exchange where Billy Napier gets his ass kicked in.
Really?
I really do.
I think
this is a get-right game for Tennessee. They're coming off that loss at Arkansas, buddy. You think they ain't focused this week? They are locked in. Lama Lama Leva is going to go.
Lama Lama Leva has not been playing well.
Yeah, he's going to get it this week, buddy.
They might have 28 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah. This is a get-right game for the Vols.
Couple games that I've won this year already when you all had a lot of bravado and I've bet against you and won. I'm thinking about going the other way on that.
Do it. I'm going to be on Tennessee.
I think Florida has way more momentum than Tennessee has right now.
I think Florida is an under-talented, under-coached
team. I was going to say, they may have some momentum, but do they have enough players?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have a weird feeling about this game. There's something weird about it. It's always
15 and a half.
It's always
It's 7 p.m. in Neyland Stadium.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's Rocky Top, drunk ass Tennessee checkerboards everywhere.
And Fred.
Goalposts.
I'm going to say this because I would love to jump on your bandwagon there.
I'm just bringing up a question.
No, I really would. I would love to think that Florida comes in there and at least keeps it competitive. But I think they are going to get smoked.
Really?
I think they're going to get smoked.
All right.
I just think
4 against 1.
Well, I just think Tennessee had that.
Don't y'all go buy your orange right now.
I just think Tennessee had that one weird game, and it's over, and now they're back at home in a night game. And it'd be different if they were playing Austin Peay or some of. They're playing Florida, who I don't care if they're not ranked right now, but those people there care about beating Florida.
That's right.
They want to beat their ass.
Sounds like a lot of pressure.
And
night games
in
Neyland hit different, man.
They are going to beat their ass.
Well,
on a Tennessee Saturday night.
The Arkansas PA guy did not help things when he played Rocky Top at the end of the game the other night. And Heupel was in the locker room going, listen to that.
Yeah.
We're not having that.
Bet your ass. They were all sitting in there like, what the hell?
And all those things being equal, I didn't know that happened, but I now want to interview or hire the PA guy from Arkansas, because that is unbelievably cool.
Well, the guy Vandy did the same thing by playing Dixieland Delight.
Yeah. Well, I thought the funniest thing that Vandy did, I don't know if you saw this.
I've seen the night vision of the people dumping the goalposts
in
the river.
Saban,
that was cool.
Saban was on game day, and he said, it's tough to play everywhere in the SEC except for Vanderbilt. So listen, as the clock goes to zero, I mean, literally, the clock hits zero.
Yes.
They don't do anything on the video board. is Saban's giant face
going. That would have been cool. That's cool.
They did it. He goes, it's tough to play anywhere but Vanderbilt.
Oh.
And those Vanderbilt people were going, Saban, you can take it right up the poop shoot.
All 500 of them.
Yeah, this is a weekend
let's
for...
Let's be real. There was 70% Bama fans in that
stadium. There always is. I mean, it doesn't matter who they play. But that's what I love about it so much.
Vandy deserves all the credit. I told Joe, he sent me a text, and I was like, buddy, you enjoy this day. You deserve all the credit in the world. I'm not going to give you any kind of complaints about anything. You straight whooped us.
Yeah, if you're a fan of like insane home environments during night games, this is the best weekend for that. I'm going to go through this list real quick.
Yes.
We've got five more tough games.
I'm just going to say these home environments real quick, and you could go from it. You got West Virginia at home at 8 o'clock. Iowa State, big game at West Virginia. We know what West Virginia night games are like,
right.
It is scary.
Yeah.
Those Boyce Rains better hit church that morning
because
they're going to hear some stuff.
That's true.
And then you got, obviously, Baton Rouge, Ole Miss coming into
Ole
LSU.
Ole Miss coming up both.
It's the famous Death Valley at night. You know what I mean?
7:30, Thunder.
Yep. Autzen Stadium, Ohio State at Oregon. Autzen Stadium's insane environment, especially a night game, which is going to be weird because it's daytime out there, so I'm not even going to count that. It's a 4:30 kickoff local time for Oregon. And then, obviously, Tennessee, and then Colorado.
The late game.
Colorado, for what it is, those fans have been packing that place in. It's a hot ticket, and they get rowdy out there,
man.
Hey,
let's talk about Deion for a minute.
Yeah. Always love talking about Deion.
I think Deion kind of shut up and went to work.
Ah, look, seems that way, doesn't it?
You know what I'm saying? I think his players went to work.
Yeah.
They shut up and went to work.
I think the defense has been like night and day difference from what it's been like early on.
Right. I don't know what they've done, but whatever they've done, they got a lot of momentum working for them. And hell, they're trying to win the Big 12 right now.
I think he had some of his big-time friends that are always up and down the sidelines have a little come-to-Jesus meeting with the team and the coaching staff.
Right.
And be like, look, you guys are a laughingstock right now.
Right.
And, yeah.
You know, it's always been them against the world, but now I think it's a different mentality now to where it's like, we're playing for pride now.
I found myself going from hating them to liking them. To hating them, to liking them again.
I know,
like, I'm kind of pulling for them.
Right. And the media's right there. They're going, hey. And you're here. And they're all giving them props, and you don't hear anything from Deion.
Yeah.
Like, going, yeah, we're doing this. We changed it. No. Just nothing.
And Shadur is dealing with a little bit of an injury. I think he's going to go, though, right? I'm not 100% sure. He's even if he's hurt, his dad's going to make him play.
Right.
So. Oh, he's got a cast?
Oh, really?
No, that's the other brother. That's the brother on defense.
The defense. You can play defense in a cast. I don't know how a quarterback.
Said, I'm playing, Daddy.
Yeah.
I'm playing.
So.
But, dude, I think Travis, besides Vandy at UK, we went through all the games that are going to be fun. I mean, at this point, Vandy 3-2 and UK 3-2, and they've had some great upsets of teams that you need to consider that a big game, too.
I think that's going to be a fascinating game. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, another 7:45 kickoff there. And it's going to be funny for Vandy for the first time in their life to possibly be on a big game hangover.
Well, let's not say the first time in their life.
Okay.
I mean,
well, first time since 1970. That they beat a number one team.
James Franklin won ten games, and they beat Auburn when they were ranked third in the country. I was at that game.
That game ain't shit. They beat the team that just beat.
That, it didn't matter when they beat Auburn.
Well, dude, they just said the Bama-Georgia game was the game of the century, and Bama beats them, and then Vandy comes in and beats Bama. It's the biggest upset in the last 30 years of football.
First off,
folks, I'm telling you right now, it's the biggest upset in the last 30 years.
I think App State beat Michigan at the Big House.
No, it ain't. That's crazy.
Vandy was 0-60.
It ain't App State. App State went on to win six more times.
They were Division II at the time.
Clemson.
They were Division II at the time.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Let me tell you what my favorite thing is. I just realized it. It's when we have discussions like this, I wish we had one of those things that, like on my music software that
the
judges.
Decibels.
That does pitch. That does pitch. Because Fred has the same range as the greatest opera singer of all time, because when he starts, he's like, well, that game was tough. And then after 15 minutes, he goes, well, it was tough. And then right then he goes, yeah, I can't believe that just happened. I mean, what are you talking about?
Don't get me started.
Maybe we should. What if we all wore heart monitors?
I just love that. It just hit me right then.
Hey, can you park that plane and turn that light off over there? That thing is bright.
So, I know that we also want to get into
some baseball.
Yes. What are we looking at here?
It's the Ole Miss LSU preview.
The Ole Miss LSU preview.
Yeah, we talked about it on here a little bit. The night game at Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great game, and
I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's two overrated teams at this point. Like,
I think Ole Miss is better than them, but I don't know.
Anything can happen in Baton Rouge, but yeah, I don't know. LSU can't play defense.
I do want to say that our buddy Josh on here that's in our league and he sat in here before, every time I see him and we're watching football, he goes, there's nobody I hate worse than Ole Miss.
He does not like them, dude. That's a
LSU
fact.
LSU fans hate Ole Miss. And I'm like, really? It strikes me funny,
but that seems weird.
No, it doesn't. It's the trailer park versus the mansions.
Yeah, it really is.
I totally get it. Yeah.
I got you. It is a rivalry that I have not necessarily.
He's like, they act so classy, they don't forget that this is Mississippi. Nobody lives in Mississippi. Like, yeah.
Tuna, I've been waiting to tell you this. I saw Josh and Haley on Saturday night and little Axel. And I look over and I go, what the hell are you wearing? He was wearing his Louisville Card shirt proud after that loss the other night.
Josh or Axel?
Josh.
Okay.
So
he said
he had to get, he went to a game with I think Keister last year. He's like, I had to get something. I'm like, you need to take that shit off.
Wear it, Josh. Sport it all day, buddy. We'll be back.
Well, I do, since we did kind of disrupt the conversation a minute ago with that unbelievable grand slam, I did want to go ahead and touch on what has been happening in baseball. I know we're a very football-centric show here typically, but the baseball playoffs have been great so far, like incredible moments and crazy games and all that stuff. And with Tuna being our preeminent guy that the only one here, well, I shouldn't say that. Chad is sitting in with us tonight. He has a team still in the playoffs. But since none of the other of us
By the time this airs, Chad will be the only one that has.
Well, I was going to ask you not just about your Dodgers.
Let's go, Peter Gammons.
But I also wanted to ask you how you feel the start of the playoffs have gone.
Well, it's been a damn blast, man. Those wild card series, the best of three wild card series last week was amazing. We've gotten off to a great start. I think every one of these divisional series have started off 1-1. The Mets Phillies, I mean, you talk about slugging it, just punching each other in the face. The Mets they seem almost like one of those teams of destinies where you can't pitch around that rotation at all right now. They're getting big hits at times they need against great pitching. And it's all happening big. And them and the Padres both kind of look like the same team. They're playing the exact same way. Right. They're getting the big hits when they need them. Everything's kind of cruising for them right now. The Tigers have been a bit of a surprise. I think we all knew that Scooble was great. You know, we watch him, get him. And but they've been getting – like, all their games have been dogfights. Just, like, great pitching down to it. It takes one inning where you're like, you put up two, three runs, and that's going to get you through the game. The Guardians, and what was this? This is a 2-1 now. I think the Tigers won today.
Yeah.
That's a good Guardians team, but that division has proved to be something. I always kind of made fun of it earlier in the season. I'm like, well, they got to play the White Sox 100 times, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And it's so bad. But you look at the Royals, the Tigers and the Guardians all coming out of there. And let's not forget the Twins were right on the cusp of getting into the playoffs. So that was a loaded division. And you look at it, and the Royals are giving the Yankees all they want. That's look, the winning ways in Kansas City are starting to bleed over across that stadium parking lot over in the Kauffman Stadium.
Okay, next, we were going to move around the horn to anybody else.
I actually have something to say real quick.
Well, jump in there, poet.
You're sitting here talking about Chad being a Detroit Tigers fan. And I've known this guy for quite some time.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand him the microphone. I want him to describe the tattoo he has on his shoulder.
Oh, shit.
I am truly a Chicago Cubs fan.
Oh, my God. That's the most Cubs move ever.
But in the American League, I am open to any competitive team.
Okay, give the microphone back.
Hey,
see?
What am I wearing, Tuna?
Well, you got a Cleveland Kenny Lofton jersey.
That's right, and that is my closet team. Has always been the Indians or the Guardians.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Fred, when I met you. That was your team.
Yeah, and since
but I think a lot of people our age grew up with the major league movie.
Loved the Reds, and I've been to Reds games, and my wife's from Northern Kentucky
and
Cincinnati.
To be
and
fair,
diehard Reds.
Fred jumped on the Reds bandwagon well over a decade ago.
Yeah. So, but
did they have a bandwagon a decade ago?
Yeah. That's the only time we've had a bandwagon. Okay. When they had
that was damn near 30 years ago.
No, when Jay Bruce. And,
oh, okay, yeah.
Right. They were winning
when they
all the
lost that
the
divisional
off.
Series
yeah.
to the Giants.
The
which we don't want to bring that up. I'm on such a sports high. I don't want to think about those horrible things like that. But,
he's got his IU shirt on right now.
Let's go
look at him.
So what are we looking forward to here in the next couple days from a baseball standpoint?
I'm hoping that we get at least one game five on Friday
Me
night.
Me too.
That would be well, it looks like the Phillies, unless they pull something out here. It's the bottom of the eighth right now, so they're going to have to do something at the top of the ninth to get this going.
They're in big trouble.
That's in trouble. So we're going to get the Edwin Diaz moment here in a minute where he comes out to his music.
Yeah, that'll
Met
be
Stadium.
Cool.
So the Dodgers are going to have to pitch a bullpen game tonight, which would be I don't really know how this is going to go. The Dodgers don't have the pitching staff to get through this, especially a seven-game series. So I don't want the Padres to do it, but I feel like them and the Mets could be a really fun series to watch.
Yeah, I think so.
And that, you know, two teams that haven't been in a long time, to have them go at it, that would be kind of fun. It's going to make me sick to my stomach here after it's over with. This is I know it's hard for me to complain about the Dodgers to a bunch of Reds fans, but I want to like compare this because there's a bunch of UK fans down here. It's like that, like where you build up every year and like you feel like you have some of the best talent out there. And you just underachieve when it gets time for the postseason.
Right.
And it's just, it hurts almost so much worse, man.
I get that.
Yeah, it's.
I get that. It makes sense.
It's tough to watch because, I don't know. I guess reality told me that our pitching staff and pitching woes, the fact that we only really have three starting pitchers right now you know you're not going to do much. So
that's 2.5 more than the Reds have.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they just ought to start Ohtani tonight and say the hell with it.
Well, dude, that game last night, Tuna, was it was a really I hate to see you lose, and I was pulling for you, but that was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I think you got two teams that absolutely hate each other, two managers that absolutely hate each other.
Did Machado really throw a ball in the dugout?
Dude, he barely pitched the ball. Dave Roberts was being such a crybaby about that. He was overblowing that situation, and then he started it, and then they asked him about it. They go over and asked was it the Padres manager? He's like, dude, I can't believe that Dave Roberts would say something about like that. Even a guy that he used to manage.
He didn't like call him out. He goes, I'll have to look at the video and,
Yeah, but he said, it was definitely thrown in there with intent.
You all have
it was intent to get it off the field.
You got a dirty little rivalry going on with them. There's no doubt
about it. Started, jerks
him. Tatis likes to stand there and watch his home runs.
Well, Profar, he kind of, first of all, Dodger fans. Just to let you know, when a home run's coming your way from a San Diego Padre, okay, disrupt that ball. When it gets over the fence, you can interact with that ball, and it's not fan interference, okay? The fact that they could have prevented that home run from happening.
The fans.
They let it fall in Jurickson Profar's glove.
Right.
And then for him to stand there and taunt them, after he did that,
right?
Okay, and then for him to cry about it when they start throwing stuff at him,
right?
You can't go into the bleacher creatures, talk shit to them, and then act like a baby.
That's right.
When they come right back at you,
fired up. That's right. Through this game,
yeah.
He's absolutely right.
No, look. Sorry, they're throwing stuff at you. It happens. Like at least it's not mayonnaise bottles like Tennessee.
Oh my God! The mouse. Don't we do? Chad just brought up the mouse at the palace. That's his second strike against ever being invited back down here again.
It's all right, Chad. I've struck out like 8 times. I keep getting plate appearances.
I want to remind everybody again that we are. First, before we go into that, I want to remind everybody that we have our 100th episode show coming up. What is it? 2 weeks from
the day before Halloween.
Wednesday. October 30th, 3 weeks from tonight.
So it's October 30th. It will be at, for all our local listeners, it will be at Chex in Germantown, right in the shadow of the Capstone. Here's what I think. It give you guys a great opportunity that listen to this show every week, maybe don't know us or anything like that. Come up to Chex, and then Freddie will, with open arms, invite you in to the garage bar and the Capstone for the post-100th show after party. Aren't you going to do that,
Hell
Fred?
Hell yes, I am. Hell yes, I will.
And it'll be live. We'll have speakers. We're going to have questions from the crowd. Might have a couple of guests here and there. We very much want to invite everybody that listens, that lives here, out to the show. I think it'll be a great time. Should be a ton of fun.
In the upstairs bar.
Yes, it is. It's in the back upstairs at Chex, like a private room. I've been up there before. Super cool bar, super cool vibe. Should be a tremendous time, and we're very much looking forward to doing that.
And I wanted to add, we're not exactly sure what time we're going to record. It's going to be somewhere between a 7 and 7:30 start and go for about an hour and a half. But we will be there from 6 to 10. We have a bartender up there, so if y'all want to grab some beers and have some drinks or whatever, we'll have the bartender there, but you will have your own tab. But we'll have some other stuff out there, so we'll be around for 3.5 hours. If you want to meet Fred or meet Tuna or talk to Travis.
I thought Fred was covering all libations for the guest that night.
That's what he talked about last week.
Say what? I heard. I was before Vandy beat us.
So we are looking forward to meeting a lot of you guys at that. Should be a ton of fun.
Hey, you in Leeds, if you're not there, I'm going to be real mad at you.
That's George, right? George from Leeds.
What was his name? I thought his name was Tim. I don't know. I have it written down. Hey, Tim from Leeds.
George.
George. George and Tim from Leeds.
George is the king, was the king of England.
There's like 12 of them.
But anyway, we're very much looking forward to that. It should be a lot of fun. Before we get out of here tonight, I know we have several things that we haven't got to yet. So this might be a little bit of an extended last call, which is fine. But I wanted to go ahead and open it up to everybody down here. And the downstairs pub calls last call. And Tuna, it's all you.
So October 8th, 2 days ago, or 1 day ago, I don't even know what the date is, but it's hockey season. Hockey season has started. So, puck 'em, lock in. The, Utah Hockey Club got their first win against the Chicago Blackhawks the other night.
I watched some of that
yes.
game.
Yeah, they did. So, that was fun. And, also
Tuna, where did that? I think we brought this up on a podcast. I am not Mr. Hockey, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Was Utah the former Phoenix team?
Phoenix Coyotes.
Okay, that's what
the
I
Phoenix
thought.
Phoenix Coyotes. It was weird with the Coyotes. They lost their contract with the home arena there and was actually playing at like a college ice rink, which is weird that there's one even in Arizona somewhere. but like I'm talking like a capacity of like 1,000 people or something. Like it was insane. And so Utah got awarded that team, and they will be playing under the moniker the Hockey Club for about 2 years while fans vote on the new team name.
And I hope they vote on some new uniforms. Those are the most boring, lame.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
I've ever seen.
I think one of the team names that I think is like kind of leading right now is the Yeti, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
That's Utah perfect. Yeti or Salt perfect. Lake City Yeti, whatever. Perfect. I think that would be awesome. Perfect. So, like Seattle did it great with the Kraken. The team colors are gorgeous. It's a great, unique name. Their uniforms are great. So, but yeah, it's hockey season. So, lock into that when you can. If you have ESPN Plus, they pretty much show every game on there.
Right.
So you don't even have to have the hockey pass to watch it.
Black cat them right now. Black cat them.
The Phillies are fighting for a game 5.
Oh, my gosh. Home run.
Damn. One more thing real quick. So this week was the fattest bear competition.
I saw this tonight.
Do you know about this fattest bear?
I do know. This is a this is a tragic situation.
Yes. So I guess Chunk was kind of on the leaderboard there for a while, and Chunk was a big 1,200-pound brown bear, put on a lot of weight for the winter, looked good. He actually killed one of the bear's cubs that he was competing against.
Yes.
Sad story. 128 grazer was that bear.
Yeah.
And
I think if you kill the child of a competitor – you ought to be automatically disqualified from said competition.
Maybe.
Was that what happened in this case?
Was it?
No.
It was not. I didn't think so. But like.
Well, they're bears.
Oh, Schwarber almost took it out. Almost took it out. Oh, man, this is insane. For me to try to talk about bears, fat bears right now while this is going on is insane.
They are bears.
But yes,
after all,
128 grazer ended up beating Chunk for the fattest bear competition. So congratulations to 128 grazer for avenging the death of your cub against Chunk the bear. And also I guess we're doing picks. Let's do picks real quick so I can watch some baseball.
Yes, please.
All right. I've got a three piece for you. We're going Kansas State at Colorado after sitting here and hyping up Colorado. I love Kansas State -4 at Boulder, Colorado. They're a better team. They're a better coach team. They should do it.
They came off a bye, too.
Yep. And then I'm going to the team that I hate most in all of college athletics, Wake Forest. Clemson has been super hot. -20.5 at Wake.
Wake coming off a win last week.
Take it to the Demon Deacons. All right. And then what we talked about earlier, Tennessee, just keep it simple. 15.5 over Florida. Neyland Stadium, night game. Boom.
Love it. And quickly, before we go back around, when I go to Freddie, I did want to mention that last week we had a very successful picks week. Tuna went 2-1, as did Jody. Fred and I went 3-0. And Colin had 4 picks, and he went 3-1. So we did very well last week. With that being said, Freddie, last call.
Okay, last call. I'm going to go into my picks first here. I'm going with some home dogs here.
I like it.
Yeah, home dog. This one's real crazy. Miami of Ohio's 1-4. Eastern Michigan's 4-1. I've won with them twice. However, they're getting 2.5 at home. Eastern Michigan all day long. I also like Southern Miss at Louisiana Monroe. Louisiana Monroe just came off a nice win last week. I'll take them -6.5 over a horrible Southern Miss team.
I really like that bet. That's a great bet.
I'm taking a team that is not playing well at all, guys, NC State. They are just and they're trying to make their season a little better. I think they're actually 3-2 now. I'm going with Syracuse had a huge win at UNLV traveling. I got them at NC State -5. I think Syracuse covers that.
God, I'm so on page with you, dude. Oh, no, I like the pack in that one. I'm sorry.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I like the pack to cover the 5 in that.
I'm going with the Cuse. And is that 3?
You can make another one if you want.
Okay. Well, he's going to have about 15 unders.
Okay, I'm going against Jody here, and I'm at BYU, 4 o'clock game, -5. I love the spread number. -5 versus Arizona. Give me BYU, and they're going to go 6-0.
Awesome.
On my unders.
Oh, here we go. Freddie's unders.
Penn State, USC, 50.5. Let's go the Roadrunners of UTSA versus Rice at 51.5. Both horrible. I'm going to go the UK Vandy over 40.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. Wait. Whoa,
it's,
whoa.
It's 44.5.
Okay. Never mind.
Oh, well, I was throwing my whole
I'm
going to
go
thing
a
off.
Big ball, a big boy under. This is a big boy under. Minnesota, UCLA, under 40. And they're going to cover that. And then that's – thank you, Jody. Appreciate that, WB. I want to say Travis, we need to give a shout out to, we lost a good friend of ours over the weekend. One of my dad's best friends, one of my best friends. His nickname is Tater. He was a huge UofL football fan all of his life. Also basketball, but you got to give.
Oh, wait a minute. You just said UofL.
No, UK.
Yeah,
for
please,
God's sake.
Please change that.
Jesus. No, I was looking at that damn thing on the board.
Please don't say that.
Tater was a huge UK fan, and something to be said about your naming your dog after Fran Kersey. Mr. Kersey was his dog's name. He was a diehard UK football fan when they weren't even around. Trust me. And a diehard UK basketball fan, we're going to miss Tater. And then also, I have one special bet that I've been saving for all you all.
Here we go.
And that is the Florida Gators getting 15.5 at Tennessee. You know what? I don't care what they're getting. They're going to cover at Rocky Top and maybe win the game. That's it.
I love it. Back to the Poet Laureate.
If Florida wins that game, I'll take a burrito.
No,
I won't.
No, we're not doing the Florida State thing. We're not doing the Florida State thing.
When are we
going to
dip the hot dog?
So I was getting to that. That's
I
part
think Saturday of, would be a good
that's
time
part
to
of
do
my
it.
Thing. You will this Saturday.
This Saturday.
Hot dog, whole bun in a high noon.
We're watching
dip it
football
and eat it.
All day, all night.
And we will put that on social media, and I promise.
We will have pictures
we're
and
have a fire
possibly
going.
Video.
Finally, we get to have a fire going now.
All our listeners are like, I've heard this every week.
I know.
But. I think
it's
we're all in town this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all be there this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that is happening this week. The other thing I was going to say was to Colin, and now I kind of have to retract. I was like, I don't know how they count in Indiana, but 3 is the number after 2 and the number before 4 on your picks. But then, of course, his uncle gave Fred free will to have 27 picks after that. So, my apologies, Colin. My picks this week, I got Georgia State. -1.5 against ODU.
The great Vandy beaters.
ODU can put some points on the board.
They are.
I got the Volunteers -15.5.
Oh,
they are covering. They crushed. They probably scored 28 in the first quarter. And I got Bama, South Carolina over 50.5.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, pal.
Hmm. Love it.
The snake says thank you.
I've got Colin's picks here.
You got a deviated septum.
Colin has Illinois and the points.
Wow, that's 19.
19.5.
Wow.
He's taking the Buffaloes +4.5.
Loss.
And he is taking the under 52.5 in the Akron Western Michigan game, which I just have
Jesus
to,
Christ.
I just have to laugh at
dude,
that,
that
one.
That just pumped Freddie.
I mean, I just have to
I
laugh at that one.
Like he did that just for me.
I want to see
I
what person is tuned
that.
In watching that
hey,
game.
Colin, I am betting that under. I'm going to bet that under just because Colin bet it. I'm
is it on a standalone night? Is it a Friday night or a Thursday night game?
Who knows?
Like there has to be something there.
It is a Saturday game.
Okay.
And by the way, I took Jacksonville State tonight and the over. Hammer that. They're playing right now. They're up 14-3.
That's not going to help our listeners.
Yeah. That's...
By the way, last week I crushed Texas State and Sam Houston State, and I hope someone joined me.
Okay. You got anything else
I'm
to
done.
Say? Okay.
Somebody keeps yanking his string over.
I was going to say, the Jack in the Box keeps popping out of the thing. Bing! Did I tell you I got another 5-team parlay?
You know how to shut Freddie up, Travis. You know how to shut Freddie up, though, don't you?
Sing Rocky
just
Top.
Say anchor down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still ain't figured out what anchor down
I've
is.
Got, I have USC getting 5 points. I have, in honor of Freddie, I have Northwestern and Maryland going way under 45.5.
Oh.
Way under 45.5.
I'd rather watch that Akron game.
And in honor of Mr. Electricity, this is the one that if you do, and I'm sure you don't, but if you do happen to follow us, this is a pick strictly for Jody's benefit to give it to him a little bit. I have the Colts getting 2.5 against his beloved Tennessee Titans.
Titans coming off a bye week.
Hell, I might bet that one with you, Trev.
Did you take USC in the points?
I did.
Penn State?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
That 1 hour bus ride to Harrisburg
well, yeah,
from State
I mean,
College really going to screw them up.
I've heard James Franklin talking. I mean, they probably had to unpack their toiletries at the airport
who
and everything.
Who was it that beat USC this past week? I'm trying to think of that.
Was it Minnesota?
Yes,
it was.
It was Minnesota Gophers got them. They ran into some old school Big Ten football right there.
Yeah. Well, they're back at home, and I don't think Penn State is as good as everybody says, but I could be proven wrong. That's why they play the games. Guys, want to thank you. This was a lot of fun tonight. We got to get out of here quickly because
think blue, go Dodgers.
Tuna has got to get home to watch his beloved Dodgers, and hopefully when we come back here next week, he can be talking about the upcoming National League Championship Series. We shall see. Want to thank everybody for being here. Of course, want to thank all of our listeners. Don't forget about our 100th episode show at Checks. We will be pumping that up more and more as we get closer. For the big fellow of the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, the poet laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod, Mr. Electricity Whiteboard Jody, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody. Thank you.